The White House said today that 20% of Americans will still not be able to buy health insurance on the Federal Exchange website by the end of the month. Instead, they'll need to sign up by phone or in person, in many cases because of the complexity of their situation. But in advance of a congressional hearing, a senior Obama administration official was quoted as saying healthcare.gov is improving and said they are working on making it easier for people to understand whether they are eligible for subsidies. That's been a problem for many up to now. It brings us to our series on reactions to the Affordable Care Act. Tonight, we hear from a couple in Colorado who are finally able to buy coverage after years of being uninsured. They did so with the help of a subsidy through the state's exchange.
My name is Joaquin Dominguez Montes III.
And my name is Rosalie Montes.
We'll get you a smaller cup, okay?
We live in Arvada, Colorado, and we have three kids.
Our oldest is a daughter, and she's in college. And we have a middle, and he's a son, and he's 13, and he's an eighth grader. And then our little one is 4 years old. We met in high school in a ninth grade, I think it was. And we've been together 24 years?
25.
25.
I work in a warehouse, and I do not get health benefits.
I work in a warehouse as well, doing commercial signage, and they don't offer any benefits. It's too small of a company.
We haven't had insurance because it's pretty expensive for us. You know, even though we have a two-income household, it gets really expensive.
This is the most current one, and then that's the water.
We looked into health insurance before, and it ranges from about $450 to $600, depending on who you go through and what kind of deductibles you have and stuff like that. So it's kind of expensive for us on top of a house payment, a car payment, you know, as well as making sure our kids are fed and stuff like that. So normally what we do when our kids do get really, 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 really sick, we take them to urgent care, you know, because we can't afford any hospital bills and stuff. And it's kind of a flat rate. You pay as you go.
But it gets pretty pricey. Our son was in football, and he's broken his collarbone twice, one right after another. Same spot. We've had to go to urgent care both times.
There was another time, too, where my oldest daughter had got real sick from something she had ate, and, you know, there was really nothing we could do to help her out. We tried to wait it out as much as we could, but she was really in pain. So we took her to the hospital, and it was pretty expensive.
She got E. coli.
So I think that bill ended up being close to $17,000.
How was your day today?
Oh, I was always worried and anxious. I just I try to do the best I can when they are sick here to, you know, remedy them at home. But there's things you can't do. It's such a big load to carry because you're just on a daily basis, you're wondering if your kids are, you know, healthy, and when they're not, you're just trying to figure out different ways to get them healthy without the insurance.
We first heard about the Obamacare through Servicio de la Raza, which is a community outreach program. One of the guys that I talked through there kept mentioning to me about that there was other people in his program that could help us out with Obamacare. So we called the lady that worked there, and she didn't hesitate. I think 2 days later, we actually met with her, got into her office. She sat us down. We filled out the application, and that's how we went about applying for it.
We kind of got split up in our insurance. The kids are on CHP Plus, a government program that insures children, and they're separate from what we qualified for. We qualified for basic insurance.
With the Obamacare, the main cost will be $450 per month. Obamacare, their tax credits will give us $287 a month to apply towards that bill. So our final bill will be $155 a month. Now that the tax credit is helping us out, we're able to afford it. Dear Lord, we thank you for blessing us with another day, Father.
And knowing that we have that and that we can qualify for something, because there's been so many times we've been turned down to be qualified for anything, but to have somebody actually say, yes, you qualify for this and this is what you're able to get, it's just, we were like, we could actually breathe now. We could, you know, actually say, we got insurance, you know, so it was awesome.
As we have throughout this series, we try to fill out the bigger picture. Tonight, Julie Rovner of NPR is back to help us out. Julie, welcome back.
Thanks
to the NewsHour. So we just saw the story of the Montez family in Colorado, but generally, who is eligible to apply for and get a subsidy like the one they got?
It's people who earn between 100% and 400% of poverty. People don't realize there's actually a floor. If you earn under 100% of poverty, you're not eligible to purchase on the exchange. It was assumed that those people would be getting the expanded Medicaid, and in the half states that are doing that, they will. In the other half of the states, they could fall between the cracks. But if you earn up to 400% of poverty, that's about $46,000 for an individual, up to about $94,000. So well into the middle class for a family of four, you will be eligible for some subsidy. Obviously, the subsidies are larger the lower your income is and smaller as your income gets higher.
But if you're not clear about it, when you go to the website and you start to put in information, that's when you find out whether you're eligible.
That's how it's supposed to work, and that's been a lot of where the problem has been, is trying to figure out exactly how big your subsidy is. And there's this data hub that you're supposed to put in your income, and it's supposed to go and look at your income through the IRS and figure out exactly what your subsidy is going to be and come back and tell you that. And then it's supposed to show you these plans with your subsidy applied. So you're supposed to see how much it will cost you with that subsidy included.
So when it works correctly, and I hear you saying it hasn't always been working correctly, what is supposed to happen? You go to the site or you're on the phone, and what happens?
You go to the site or you're on the phone. You're supposed to get qualified, basically. Find out what kind of subsidy you are eligible for, and then you go and choose a plan, and basically that discount, it becomes a discount. And so you pay, as we just saw in the piece, the family is only going to pay the subsidized price. It's not like you have to ask for the tax credit at tax time. That tax credit gets applied on a month-to-month basis. Then at tax time, you reconcile. If you've underpaid, then you pay a little more. If you've overpaid, then they give you a little bit of money back.
So that was my question. And this is in the form of, it's not just that you pay a lower premium. It's that this literally comes off your income tax bill.
That's right. It's a tax credit. That's essentially, but it's what we call an advanceable, refundable tax credit. So it gets applied to your monthly premium, but then when you file your taxes, you basically have to make sure that you got the right amount based on your income.
And again, it's not this year, 2013. It'll start to take effect in 2014 when they would start to pay the premium.
That's right. And you would basically, so you will file it in April of 2015 when you do your 2014 taxes.
So as people have tried to sign on, what kinds of things have they run into as they've tried to apply for this?
Well, a lot of people have had trouble basically getting, you know, this estimate of what their subsidy will be. That was the biggest difficulty for a lot of people, was finding out what that subsidy is. It's also the biggest difficulty in people outside trying to sign up. A lot of outside groups, the insurance companies, some outside private exchanges like eHealth Insurance, have wanted to sign up what they call these subsidy-eligible people, and there are a lot of them, and they haven't been able to because the federal government hasn't been able to find a way to take these people, find out what they're, determine their subsidy, and let them then go back to these outside places and sign up for these health insurance plans. So they've been basically stuck in the federal website that doesn't work that well.
And remind us, why did the Obama administration feel the need to do these subsidies in the first place?
Well, basically, the basic part of this was the individual health insurance system didn't work. It kept a lot of people with pre-existing health conditions out. So the first thing was to let everybody who wanted insurance get in. But, of course, if you have sick people in this pool, now you want to have a lot more healthy people in the pool. In order to get healthy people in the pool, you basically had to require a lot of people in the pool. If you're going to require people in there, what were you going to do about people who couldn't afford it? Well, you're going to have to give them help. That's what the subsidies are for. They're to get people in who otherwise couldn't afford it.
And do we know, just quickly, Julie, what percentage or how many people they believe are eligible for these subsidies?
Well, the estimates vary, but the Congressional Budget Office and others have estimated that somewhere between 18 and 20 million people total, this is over the next several years, will be eligible for some sort of financial help inside the exchanges.
And just finally, broaden it out to the overall problems the administration's been having. They've been giving daily updates, reports on how it's going. What are they saying?
Well,
right
they keep saying it's getting better, that the error rates are going down, that people are getting on faster, that they're having an easier time, for instance, determining what kind of subsidy they're eligible for. They're still working, what they say, on the back end of the exchange, which is getting people actually enrolled in plans and getting that information to the insurance plans. They still say they're aiming, you know, to have this all working well at the end of the month, but they do keep redefining what working well at the end of the month actually means. There's going to be a big crunch because there's a lot of people who are going to want to sign up, you know, as they've been waiting for the end of the month by December 15th, the date you need to be signed up in order to have coverage start January 1st.
Starting January 1, and that is just days away.
Certainly will be by the end of the month.
Julie Robner of NPR, thank you.
You're welcome.